Good morning, everybody. Man, what a great crowd this morning. Good to see all of y'all. And my iPad lid broke, so it won't stay up. It's good to see all you guys here this morning, and I'm going to get to share a little time with y'all. Before we take off today, though, I want to talk about a couple of different things. One is tonight is our men's night. If you're a man, beat your chest, shout, do something real quick. Come on, all the men in the house here today. All right, we want all of you guys to be here tonight. We're going to have some awesome food. And that's going to be great. And then we're just going to be sharing a little bit about our next year and what next year is going to look like and the opportunities you have to be a part of what the men of the house are doing. And you don't want to miss that. It's going to be great tonight. And, I mean, this is a great, great day. Where's my photographer at? You ready? I want everybody to get your 3D glasses out. Come on, get your 3D glasses out. Hey, I want you to put them on. Come on. Everybody have some? Everybody got some? If you don't have any, raise your hand. All right, here we go, three hands. So make sure everybody has a pair of glasses. Let's get a pair of glasses. We don't want anybody to miss out. All right, y'all are looking so cool. Some of y'all look cooler than others, but everybody's looking cool. So there we go. All right, you ready? All right, wait, let's get everybody get them on. Now do something really fun. Like, don't just sit there like a potato head. Come on, let's raise your hand, do something. All right, 3D. Awesome. Awesome. Today I want to talk about the 3D church. And if you'll look on your glasses, we have a little on the side it says love, equip, and go. And the other side it says 3D church, a three-dimensional church. Now, my brother-in-law, he's so smart. He sent me something from last service I want to share with you. It's really good. I don't know where he's at now, but it was really good when he sent it to me. 3D church, love, devoted, delighted. Equip, develop, go, discharge, dispatch. So he's got a whole bunch of D's in that 3D. Devoted, delighted, develop, discharge, and dispatch. I thought that was a good little ad. Didn't you think that's good? I would give him credit for it, but he's not here. So I should have just said, look, I just came up with this between services. And this is really awesome. But we're really kicking off our series today. You know, it's really a series for this month is my best. And really when we give God our very best, that's what he don't want from us what we don't have. He wants our best of what he's put in us. And he really wants us to be a church that is really devoted and really committed to him. So I'm going to share with you some things today. Let's say love, equip, go. Love, equip, go. The scripture reads like this. 1 John 4:7. Those who are loved by God, let love continually pour from you to one another, because God is love. Everybody say, God is love. And everyone who loves is fathered by God. And I could just preach right there for a long time. Everyone who loves is fathered by God. Hey, Jeff, I just said you're a great, amazing thing. You missed it. We love you. That was awesome. Each of us are fathered by God when we share the love of God, when we're committed to the love of God. And there's no greater teacher than Father God. Can I get a better amen? And by God and experiences the ultimate, intimate knowledge of him. The one who does not love has yet to know God, for God is love. The light of God's love shines within us when he sent his matchless son into the world so that we might live through him. This is the love. He loved us long before we loved him. It was his love, not ours. He provided it by sending his son to be the pleasing sacrifice offering to take away our sins. Delightful loved ones, if he loved us with such tremendous love, then loving others should be our way of life. Everybody say, loving others should be our way of life. Why don't you look over the person next to you and just say, I love you. Come on, I love you. You're awesome. Equip. Ephesians 4:11 tells us this. And he has appointed some with the grace to be apostles, and some with the grace to be prophets, and some with the grace to be evangelists, and some with the grace to be pastors, and some with the grace to be teachers. And their calling is the nature to nurture and to prepare all the holy believers to do their own works, to nurture all the believers to mature to do their own works. Every person in here is called to do something amazing, not just for God, but with God. Everybody say, not for God, but with God. We're co-laborers with Him. This grace ministry will function until all attain oneness in the faith, until we all experience the fullness of being one with the Son of God, and finally we become one perfect man with full dimensions of spiritual maturity and fully developed in the abundance of Christ. To go. Matthew 28:19 says, "Now go in my authority and make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to faithfully follow all that I've commanded. And you will never forget, and never forget, that I am with you every day, every day, every day, till completion is done, until we're all, till this is all finished, even to the end of the ages." So God commissioned us not to go build churches. He commissioned us to go make disciples. Now, we know that when we start making disciples, we build churches. If we make disciples, there won't be buildings big enough. There won't be auditoriums big enough to house people. There won't be places that we can meet great enough to carry everything that God is doing when we go make disciples. How many knows that if you make a church, then that church sometimes, when you make a church, you just get church, you get this consumer mentality of, hey, I go to church to get something. I go to church to gain something. And we do go to get it, but we go to get it so that we can give it away. And we don't just go and consume and consume and consume, but we go to receive so that we can be those disciples that go and make more disciples. And that's what He created us for. What does it mean to be a true apostolic church? Ask yourself that question today. What does it mean to be a true apostolic church? Jesus modeled it with the 12 disciples, with His apostles. And then if you don't get anything else today, write this down, because I want you to carry this home with you. I want you to carry it in your heart, in your head, your mind, your spirit, every way you can carry it. This is awesome. He loved them for who they were. He equipped them for where they were going. And He sent them to make disciples. I'm going to say it again. He loved them for who they are. He went out for just, hey, come on, fishermen. Come on, tax collector. He loved them for who they were. He equipped them for where they were going, and He sent them out to multiply or make disciples. A 3D church looks kind of like that. It looks like a church that loves people for who they are, equips people for where they're going, and then sends them out to do what God created them to do. I think if there's anything that we can accomplish in 2018 is to be better at that very thing, to love people for where they are, to equip them for where they're going, and then release them to do what God created them to do. Come on, that is so good. I believe that the Harbor has been blessed through the years. I mean, it's always been a part of our heart from the very beginning to be kingdom-minded. So much so that we're so kingdom-minded sometimes that we forget to eat. We don't even acknowledge sometimes when we're doing all the things for the kingdom, and people try to say, hey, man, the Harbor Church, we're just trying to do it for Jesus, for the purpose of the kingdom. And I think sometimes we miss even the opportunity to say, look what God has done. And so today I'm going to take a little time to say, look what God has done in our house. Look what He's done through you and through this church and as we've reached around the world. It is our heart that every soul that we reach, every soul that we can reach, not just a few, but every soul. Everybody say every soul. Say every soul matters. Every soul matters. We're living in a day and age where there's so much division going on, and this, that, and the other, and blah, 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 and division not just racial division, but division in homes, division in attitudes with people's mindset. I was talking this morning with Miss Rita, and we were just visiting about the spirit that comes in and brings confusion and lies. I don't know if our president realizes it or not, but he actually is denouncing that by calling it fake news. But honestly, there's just fake news everywhere, these lies that are everywhere that are causing division. You know what? The government's never going to change that. The government's not going to change it, but the body of Christ can change that. The body of Christ can change all of those barriers and tear every one of those barriers down when we do what we read today of loving people right where they are. Loving people right where they are, equipping them for where God is going to take them, and sending them to do what God has put in their heart to do. And I believe that should be our heart. And I believe as we reach our region, our state, other states, and other nations, we should always keep our minds set on those things that God has called us for this day, for this hour. I believe we're living in the greatest time ever. Scripture says that in the last days, I'm pouring out my spirit upon all flesh. We're always talking about what's in the last days. The last days are going on, and we get focused, and Peyton teed that up so beautifully this morning. We get focused upon all the stuff that's going on in the world. We can look at all the negative, but what about the positive? That right now in this hour, there's great revival happening. The kingdom of God is being birthed all over the place, and we get to be a part of that. That's pretty awesome. So I'm going to share with you a video today of some of the things that you're involved in, that this house is involved in, that you get to be a part of.
Hola, mucho gusto. Para mí es un placer poder saludarles. Hey, everybody, it's great to meet you. I'm standing here at the street corner in the beautiful city of Ciudad Acuña. This is one of the border towns that was considered one of the least significant. But about 5 years ago, there was a prophetic word released that Acuña was going to be a gateway of revival that's going to spread all the way through Mexico and all the way up into Canada, all the way through North America.
to, you know, Bishop wanted to have a pig that would take care of all the plants and take care of all the vegetables for me. That can walk and don't only just see TV and stay up in the county. And the name, I already had in the little time with the house.
Come on, let's give God praise. That's you, Harbor family. Come on, give yourself a hand. Isn't that awesome? Now, I will say, didn't Ryan, wasn't that footage awesome? Come on, let's give it up for Ryan. Amazing. Did a phenomenal job. And I got to live a whole, like, 10 days with Ryan. That puts you on a whole new level of spirituality. And we had a great time. And, you know, he did make me a little nervous. You saw that last piece of footage. He was flying over the plaza right there. That's right by the border. And there was military standing out there with M16s. I thought they was going to shoot the drone out of the sky. But we had permission, but I was still a little nervous. But it was just an awesome, awesome, awesome week. I want to share a few with things, other things with you, if I may. Heart and Hands Ministry is a ministry that in Mexico that we had the privilege of partnering with or being a part of and now leading. And I'll share more with you about that in a little bit. But it's a ministry that really comes alongside Pastor and his family. Now, here's what I'm going to tell you about Pastor Oscar. He's excited that we're there. He feels like new avenues are going to open up and opportunities are going to open up. But the honest to God truth is partner with someone that has our same vision. He pastors 40 pastors in his area. They give out food. They love on people. They're planting churches. One of the little churches that you saw that had the brick building with the remodeling going on right there, that's a brand new church plant. They've already outgrown it. They're getting ready to expand. It's in a very rough neighborhood. People are walking to church. Very few of their people have cars. And he's planning these little churches as well as going with a mobile eye clinic that we're going to develop that's going to go around and help serve people. This guy's got a great vision for kind of a ministry to the elderly, building homes for them. And then we're building houses. And these are some of the things that you get to be a part of as we build teams to go to Acuna and to do those kind of things as well. And then Iron Kite Ministries is Neil Brewer. And today is a special day, because at the end of the service, we're going to take up an offering because Neil contacted me. They have a special need. But I want to say the same thing about Neil. They're in Iraq. They've partnered with our church. They love our church. We feel like our hearts are knitted together. I asked Neil, I said, Neil, how long are you going to be in Iraq? He said, the rest of my life. He's taken his four children, moved into one of the hardest areas, and they're doing ministry in these refugee camps, and they're seeing many people come to God. It's just really amazing to see what God is doing with that family. And then Life Church in Lithuania. The Miller family was with us this year, and they're such an incredible group of people. They tapped into the university there, and they started teaching music in the university. Now, Shasta has not had one day of formal training in music. All her music skills was learned in church. But she's teaching gospel in the university, and they're loving it. And so they had a big concert this year, and it was one of the – they've done it the last 2 years, but this year was huge. And with that, all the young people are being connected. If you're not on their Facebook page, you should be, because you when you see their church, it looks like it's a student church. It looks very young, and God's just multiplying their church. And it's crazy what God is doing in Lithuania. And then right here in Picayune, Mississippi, we get to partner with Pastor Leo and in Picayune. He planted this church not even a year old. He called me last week so excited because they've already over 200 in less than a year. And they're looking for a new building, new space. They're trying to figure out what to do. They're out of parking. They're out of the kids' room. They're out of everything in just about 8 months. Baptizing people every month. It's just been incredible what God is doing there. And so we're excited about partnering with them. And we bless them a lot, not just with things, but we've been there with them kind of coaching all the way through. And Ryan spent a lot of time with them with their video, with their all their sound and all that stuff. And they're just doing a phenomenal job. And then Oasis Church in Round Rock, somebody say crazy. Crazy. 1 year. Oh, 500 people were there Sunday, packed out. Pastor had to get up and tell all the volunteers in second service, if you're a volunteer, get up and leave. Go out of the building. We have people that are standing. We need you to move so they can come in and sit down. And it was crazy, and it was awesome. It was a phenomenal. Spirit of God was amazing there. They baptized 15 this past month, I believe, and just God doing amazing things. And that's because the Harbor Church has partnered with them, and we believe that the best is yet to come there as well. And then in Mandeville, we started our campus in Mandeville, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit more. We have some of our Mandeville people here today. Come on, shout out to you guys. And we had some in first service as well. And then we support a lot of the local missions, Daily Bread, our food bank, and then Helping Hands Ministry, which is going to be partnering with us. You need to be here next Saturday to be a part of that. If you're not, fill out the card, be here. It's going to be a great time as we get to feed our city. And then we partner with them monthly in support as well. And then RFK, our very own Royal Family Kids that are right here out of our church, that we get to do to foster care and serve them. And I think it's amazing what God is doing in all of these different places that we're serving. We're doing what God called us to do, is what he said to do. This is a very biblical thing. And so then I hope we don't get to do a lot of this ministry in the future. Disaster relief, I'm like, God, we'll do it, but we're good. You can, not for a while, that's good. But when need be, I remember that our first time to do disaster relief is when a apartment complex here in our town burnt down. It was over by the university and it had full of college kids and they had nowhere to go. And we opened up the little doors of our church downtown and we went and bought toothpaste and toothbrushes and toiletries and things to bless them and a safe place for them to get counseling and in an environment where they felt like they were loved and helped them get established. And it was one of our first disaster relief things. And we've done many since then, tornadoes in Alabama, and built friendships out of those relationships, as well as the hurricanes and the floods in our local area. And then we do weekly. I don't think a lot of people realize this, but our staff can tell you that weekly somebody walks through our doors that needs help. They need a light bill paid. They need food to eat. They need gas in the car. They need something. And this happens weekly. And we try to do as much as we possibly can. Sometimes we run out of benevolence funds, But even then, we'll go buy them gas, or we'll go do something for them. But we've housed people. We've done a lot of things that happen every week when people walk through these doors that just need a little love and a little relationship and some friendship. I felt it was real important for us to share this today with you, because I believe God wants this coming year for us to do more than we've ever done before and to see more than we've ever seen before. And I think last service I was amazed at how many people walked out the door that's part of this house that said, "Pastor, I had no idea. I had no idea that all of these things were happening and working in our church." And that's probably some area we need to do better at testifying about the goodness of God. This is going to be a year of great growth as we expand. And we're going to expand not just our physical building, but our ministries. And I'm excited. You have on your seat a card. It says Love, Equip, and Go, but it has a picture of the building that we're proposing to build. It's going to be an addition to this building. Out there where the tent is, we're going to build on a new foyer that's going to have new bathrooms and a new coffee bar and all that space. And then back here, we're going to have our office complex. And then we're going to rip out all of these walls in here and flip the building around so the stage will be this way. And we're going to more than double our capacity. We're going to go from the 183 chairs we have in here to about 386 seats. So we're going to double the capacity of our church. And it's going to be awesome. And it's going to be a completely different look. We're going to take out the ceilings, and we're going to just do all kinds of amazing things. It's going to be great. And I'm excited about that, but I'm more excited because it's just a building. How many of those that pastor don't really care a whole lot about buildings are not my thing? This is not our legacy. This is a building. It can burn down. It can blow down. It can blow up. It could do all kinds of things. But what is the legacy is our ministry that we're leaving in our city of the kingdom of God and the lives that we're touching. So the building only facilitates the purpose of the kingdom. And so, but we're excited about the building. The kids will be excited that they have their space and you're not walking through there going to the bathroom, disturbing them. And they'll have, we'll have new nurseries and all of that on that side. It's going to be amazing, and it's going to be an incredible thing. And of course, that at some point in time here in the future, we'll talk a little more about that and you partnering with us to make that happen. It's going to add about 5,000 square foot to this building, which is pretty cool. The way we're doing it, so, and cost us a whole lot less money than building a whole new facility, less than half of what it would have cost us to build a new facility. So we're saving money and we're expanding at the same time, so that's cool. We're launching something I'm so excited about that I'm very, very, very excited about, and I'm not going to try to spend a lot of time here today because I could, but I am so excited about Harbor Kids Club. Harbor Kids Club is going to be incredible because we have these kids that are next door right now. They're being equipped. They're amazing. The prophetic anointing that's resting on these kids. And as the Lord began to speak to me about Harbor Kids, I couldn't help but think, what an amazing thing, God, that you're putting in our spirit is to take our kids and equipping them and then mentoring them for the purpose that God created them for. And so that when they move into their adolescent years, they're not trying to figure out their identity like so many kids are, but they know who God created them to be, and they're moving into those teen years empowered and ready to do what God's called them to do. And so as we equip them, we'll do things with them to help them understand their giftings and their purpose. But let's just say they're gifted to do worship. Then we're going to have them on the stage doing worship. If they're gifted to do prayer, we're going to have them down here praying with people and being mentored through these things. If their gift is hospitality, we're going to have them in our guest service teams and training them up. But most of all, we're going to teach them to evangelize the world they live in. And that God's called them to prophesy and to speak life and to pray for people and to heal the sick and to raise the dead. Can I get a better amen? And while their faith is young, the Bible says, unless you become as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. While their faith is young, we're going to equip them so that they move right into those adult years already doing what God's called them to do and not wondering if this can happen. Because they're going to say, well, when I was 11 years old, I prayed for somebody's leg and it was healed immediately. It's going to be hard to take that away from them. Can I get a prayer, man? So I'm super excited about that. And then our youth, we have an amazing group of young people here that love God, that are fired up for God. A bunch of them just got back from the ramp last week, and they're fired up for God. And what we want to do is take our young people and include them in our weekly small groups, which we call hangouts. And not only do we want them just to come to a hangout, but we want them to build some hangouts, to create their own hangouts, and to do the same thing we're talking about with our youth. Take what God's put in them, create atmospheres where they can evangelize, where they can create small groups, where they can minister to one another, and create relationships that are lifetime relationships of helping one another. And it's so interesting because young people get in this age and then they get in these little kind of time in their life where they're trying to figure all this out. We want to mix them together, man. Put them together because, you know, variety is the spice of life. Can I get a better amen? And so you don't have to be just like me to be with me, but we want to be together so that God can use us corporately to move the kingdom of God forward. So I'm excited about that. And then on one Wednesday night a month, or the last Wednesday night of every month, we'll have a great service in here, high energy worship, and we'll be speaking a word over these kids and praying over them, and then releasing them to go do what God has called them to do. And for all of our adults, this coming year, some of y'all already went through some of our classes last week on hearing this past month or so on hearing God's voice. We have some equipping classes that are coming up. We have the auditorium space now to do that 3 Wednesday nights a month. And so we're going to be having equipping classes here. And so the first one coming up is called Arrows. It's going to be starting in January. And it's really about bringing the kingdom of God right into your family unit, right into your home. And so we want to equip people to do that. How many of the first place that there ought to be a revival at is at your house? Amen. If we gain the whole world and we preach to everybody else and we lose our families, we haven't done much. But we can have revival in our homes and have a kingdom mentality in our homes, then we can change the world around us. Can I get a better amen? Amen. Come on, let's clap our hands with the Lord for just a second. And then Peyton's already mentioned our family dinners for the young people, for the 18 to 35. And if you haven't been to those, you ought to try it out. Check it out. It sounds like a lot of fun. They won't let me come, but I'm coming to one, whether they like it or not, very soon. And I guess it's because I'm old, but I want to come check it out and hang out. But it's a great time for fellowship, and they're connecting together and building relationships. And so they're one of their little taglines is the dinner's on us, and I added to that, but showing up is on you. So they can cook the dinner, but it's your responsibility to show up. So if you're in that age group and you're out of high school and you're in college or you're in or maybe just a young adults with kids, it doesn't matter. There's no child care, but you can get a babysitter and bring your husband, your wife, your friends, and y'all come and join them for family dinners. That's going to be an awesome time and opportunities for you to get together. You know, we already have several small groups. One of our men's small group meets at 6 o'clock in the morning, and it's a blast. We meet at Pastor Tim's office, and we have quite a few men. We've had as many as 20 guys and as few as 10, but we always have a great time together and a great opportunity for us to bond together. And we want to see more of those small groups. Amanda has a small group. There's other small groups in our church. And we want to see those times for us to bond together. These small groups are very organic. So they're you sharing your life with people. And so somebody says, do y'all have a small group program? We said, yeah, we got one. It's you. Go get it and go start a small group. So if you want to be in a small group, great, start one. And people will show up, and if you're consistent, people will come, and y'all have a blast doing it. I'm sorry. Got choked on the water. That is water in there, ain't it? We also, next year, we want to launch our campus in Mandeville. In March, we started with a group of people, and in that group of people has come together for several months now. It's been amazing. Our Wednesday night's been amazing. But we know that for us to grow and go to the next level, we got to have a place for child care, and we have to have a place for children's ministry. And so we're looking for a location over in the Mandeville, Madisonville area that we believe is going to be our next campus. And we're excited about that. So those hope to launch next year. They'll be on Sunday afternoon at 5 o'clock or somewhere around that time. So we'll have service here on Sunday morning, Madisonville campus, Mandeville campus, in the evenings, and I'm looking forward to that. Several years ago, God put it in my heart to start a ministry over there, and I just refused. I absolutely refused to go push doors open, go find buildings and rent buildings and do all the church stuff. I said, God, if this is you, then you're going to do it. I'm not going to have to push any doors open. And in March, I received a phone call and said, we have a group of people that's meeting. We would like for you to come over and meet with us and pastor this church. And so I met with the core team and I said, look, I'll do it, but I'm not coming over here just to have a little prophetic Wednesday night service that we don't reach the world. That's not our vision. Our vision is to be prophetic, but it's to reach the world. Our vision is to have great service, but it's to reach the world. And so we believe that God wants us to plant there and then create an atmosphere of an apostolic church that equips people and sends people out just like it does here. And so we're looking forward to that and believing God's opening some doors for that in this coming year. I believe this could possibly be one of the greatest years we've ever seen, as we have healing rooms in Mandeville and we're going to have healing rooms here where we can do sozos, where people can come get inner healing. I don't know what the statistics are, but I just believe there's a lot of people that goes to church that needs to be healed. They go to church, but they don't operate in their gifts and their calling because they're not healed. And I believe as part of the mandate of this house and our calling and our purpose is to help people to become healed and to move into the areas of ministry that God created them for and the purpose that God created them for. So we're very, very excited about that. And last but not least, I just want to share with you just a little bit about myself. This past year, I started feeling like God was just doing something different in my life, and I didn't know what that was going to look like. I didn't really understand it. I just could feel a shift in the spirit, like, okay, God, what are you doing? And I don't walk alone. I have great men that's in my life and people that cover me, and so I began to talk to my overseers as well as those that are in this house that are on our board, and, of course, my wife, who is completely amazing and been amazing part of everything that we've done. And you know, and I say this very carefully, that I don't believe that you should ever do anything without counsel. The Bible says that a multitude of counsel, there's safety. If God's calling you to something, he's going to help speak through other people that God he's put in your life so that you know that you're doing the right thing. And so counsel is very important. And so as we begin to share that vision and share what God was doing, what God was speaking, it came very clear that I needed to do what I had been called to do, and that's to be a spiritual father and to walk in my apostolic calling to help pastors and their families. And I understand that as I do this, this is not really about me going into churches and helping them strategically plan how to build their church as much as it is healing and touching pastors' lives. And they walk through dark times too. And so God, as I said yes to this, God began to open the doors. That's when Mexico opened up. That's when these other churches began to flourish and things began to happen. So I want to tell you just a little bit about Mexico, because this is when I knew that God was put his hand on this. So 4 years ago, we went to Mexico deer hunting, and we drove back through Mexico. I felt a tug of the Holy Spirit on my life to, like, hey, you know what? You need to do something in this city. Now, I thought about it all the way home, and I thought, you know, Marvin, that was probably just you because you love people. I can drive through a city and see where people are hurting and say, oh, God, you're calling me, you know, because I love people. And so I kind of put it off for a little while, but when I went back and I drove to that city again, I could feel this so strongly again. And so I spoke with John, who runs the ranches, John and Julie Welch, and I spoke with them, and they was like, we're feeling the same thing. We're feeling like God wants to do something amazing there. And so I was at a pastor's meeting at Healing Place Church, and I was sharing with one of the mission pastors my heart. And he's like, you don't need to do that. There's a ministry that's been there 23 years, and John, who's over the ministry, just passed away, and his wife is running the ministry alone, and she really needs help. She's up in age. So I called Dorothy, and, you know, Dorothy was all excited. She's like, oh, you're an angel sent from God. Well, I knew that had to be God, because nobody's ever called me an angel before. Just joking. And so we went, we connected with her, and we started just coming alongside them to expand the ministry. And what I love about them is they're going to build this ministry whether we're there or not. They have a heart to build the ministry, and that's so beautiful. And so when I connected with them and I just seen that they wasn't just looking for a handout, but they was looking for some help up, I was like, this is what we want to be a part of. And so as we partnered with them, I got a phone call after I said yes to this apostolic calling on my life. And I said yes to that, and I got a call from Dorothy. She said, I can't do this anymore. I'm too old. I'm 73 years old. I'm living in Dallas. I need you to just take this ministry. How many know this is how God works? He sets you up. Come on, God sets you up. And so we've taken over the ministry now, and I don't even like to use that word. We partnered with them, and we've come alongside them, and now God's handed this into our, handed this over to us, and we're seeing God do so many amazing things, and so excited about it. And it's going to give you an opportunity to partner too. And next year, we're going to get to travel in there with teams. We're going to build houses. We're going to have medical teams. We're going to do all kinds of amazing things, children's ministry, and different things in that city. And not only just in Acuna, but anywhere God leads us with Heart and Hands. It's Heart and Hands is a ministry to missionaries. It's not just a ministry to Acuna itself. And we have other little churches being planted that we could be a part of and things that we could do. And I just feel like it's going to go bigger than just Mexico. I feel there's a call to that this Heart and Hands can reach in many different places. And I'm super, super, super excited about that. And so I know this month I've been gone a lot, and I wanted to tell you that that's not the plan. I'm not planning on being gone all the time. Somebody heard that we got a text that we were, our text that we sent out about today, and they immediately thought that pastor was resigning. I'm not resigning. I'm sorry to tell you that. I'm staying here. But we are going to be traveling more, and we are going to be reaching, you know, going to Mexico and going to these different churches that God cares us to. This past month, I was gone a lot because of the storm in Houston. We were supposed to be in Round Rock, and obviously all that went down. And so we ended up pushing that back, and that made it kind of a busy month because my wife and I was already scheduled to be in California. So we kind of jammed all that together. That won't be every month, but there are going to be times that I'm out. But I'm going to tell you something. I believe this, with this anointing that's resting on me, I believe that the very thing that we're talking about is equipping people, loving people, equipping people, and sending people is happening in this house. Because as we get to do that, the people that are in this house that are called to do things are having opportunities to minister and do things here. I know when I was out, Michelle ministered, and I was listening to her message. It was an incredible message. Peyton's message was incredible, and I haven't heard my wife's message yet, but I know that it was good because she had me read over it before she ministered, and actually Ryan was reading it to me as was driving in the car, and I was getting so excited. I was like, that's a good word. That's a good word. And so I just believe that God is raising up people in this house as well as raising our ministry as a whole and this church as a whole to reach the world. We don't want to be single-minded. We want to be a 3D church that has depth in our vision, has depth in what we're doing, and know that God is bigger than the harbor. Can I get a better amen? Can I get a better amen? So I just see next year us reaching the world in a crazy kind of way. Our worship team can come. In January, we kick off our 21 days of prayer and fasting. And it's going to end with an incredible night at the Columbia Theater. How many got to go last year to the Columbia Theater for the night of worship? Well, we're going to end our 21 days of prayer and fasting at the Columbia Theater with another night of worship. And it's going to be amazing. But here's what I want. Here's what I want to talk to you about this morning as our team is getting ready. There's no telling what God's going to do with this house this next year. We already know that they've called us. Chris Overstreet, we're joining with their team. We're going to do a campus ministry on LSU in February. We are since then, Circuit Riders, which is another group that's called us, we're going to be doing campus ministry here at SLU and on LSU campus. So as we commit, God begins to open doors and he begins to partner with us. And it's so amazing. Well, like last year when we planted the seed to do one, we never realized that maybe wasn't all that we saw there was just the seed, but God was using that seed to say, this house loves the kingdom of God. And this house wants to reach the world. And we're believing for unity over our city. We're believing for outpouring of the Holy Spirit over our city. But we're believing, God, for things beyond our city and other cities and other nations. And I believe God's going to use every single one of you to do that. And there's opportunities right here at this church. If you're not involved, you ought to get involved. We got plenty places to serve. Plenty things to do. You say, well, Pastor, where can I serve? Listen, every place you serve is important to the kingdom of God. Not just the people, this worship team, or the people that are ministering on this stage, but the coffee bar is as important as anything else. Those that work in our parking lot, those that help our children, those that do anything that you do in the kingdom of God has value. Our sound people, we couldn't do it today without these guys that are there every week. And I just so appreciate our sound and our production crews that make it happen every week. They get here early and they stay late. And they do it with a good heart. They do it with a good heart. And I've always been that pastor. Don't talk about the sound man. You know, I never let another preacher come in our house and say, hey, sound man. I'm like, I do all the talking to the sound man. You just preach. Because I love these guys. I love their hearts. I love their to come and serve. It's so many things that you can do for the kingdom of God. You say, well, I'm not called to be a preacher. Well, you don't have to be a preacher to be effective in the kingdom of God. How many of those that we're at this house, we're not about titles. We're about picking up a towel. Amen. It's not about the titles. It's about the towel. It's about what God's put in your heart to carry. And I think that's a beautiful thing. A very beautiful thing. And we love people. We equip the saints and we go make disciples. And we're not just reaching our home, but we're reaching nations. We're reaching nations. My wife and I had so long to go this summer. And I think we're going to try to figure out how to do it, to go to Lithuania. Our friends, the Millers, have been there for over 10 years now. They've asked us year after year after year to come. But as I was talking about this even just a few minutes ago, I thought, what an opportunity for our worship team to get to go to Lithuania and serve alongside those university students and bring what we have to them. It's not limited to Pastor Angela and I. This is a ministry that all of us can be a part of. And I watched these families as they marched down the streets of Mexico. And it was awesome because it was like a parade. It was like, hey, we parade for everything in South Louisiana, Mardi Gras and everything else. But we ought to parade for Jesus. Can I get a better amen? Amen. And so they marched over 5 miles through the city. And each little group of them it was just like they had their own little theme. And they had big old speakers on the back of their cars and they was blowing it out. And they had little dance teams and it was awesome. One had a flatbed trailer with a full band on it. And they had flags and they had tambourines and they had signs and they had banners. And I thought, God, we're the church that's underground. We come meet every Sunday. We have great, wonderful people. We invite people into our house. But Lord, if we said we was having a parade down the main street of Hammond, would anybody show up? Would anybody show up? I'm talking about myself. Would I show up? Would I say, I'm going to get a banner and I'm going to walk through the streets of Hammond saying that we proclaim the name of the Lord over this city? If we get a passion for our city, what can we do? We get a passion for the lost, what can we do? The scripture says in Acts 1 verse 8 says, I promise you this, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be filled with power and you will be my messenger in Jerusalem and throughout Judea and the distant provinces, even to the remotest places on earth. You're going to be my messenger. Everybody say, I'm God's messenger. I'm God's messenger. We carry the message of the kingdom. That's what we carry. We carry the greatest message in the world. The greatest message in the world. Listen, we don't hesitate to tell somebody about a new product that we found that takes our wrinkles away. or a new product we found that makes us skinny. We don't mind doing that. But this product that we have is called the Kingdom of God. It takes away all your sins. It heals your body. It makes you whole. There's not a greater thing in the whole wide world than this Jesus that we serve. And we need to be the messengers of this gospel. And we need to tell the world around us, not just here at home, but everywhere we go, about the kingdom of God. So what are you asking, Pastor? In a few minutes, we're going to take up another offering, not because today I'm doing this message, but because today is when they need the offering. I got the text last week. They need the offering today. That's why we're taking up the offering, because we're going to help somebody in another country. Not because we have to, but because we get to. But it's not just our money. What about our time and our talent and our treasure? What about the time that we have? I told my wife, I said, I'm very convicted this week as I was praying. Like, how much time do we spend just silly things that don't matter? Look, I'm not preaching this morning against Halloween, but all the time to go find a costume and the makeup and the silliness of walking around asking for candy, how silly can that be? But yet we put all this effort into it. We put all this effort into doing things that are so temporal. And I'm not preaching against Halloween today. I'm talking about, what are we doing with our time? Sitting in front of a TV or a computer, Facebook, FaceTime, this, that, and the other. But what if we took just a moment of our time and we said, God, I'm going to give this time to you. I'm going to give not only my tithing, which this church does tremendous at, but I'm going to give them my talent. I'm going to do what you've called me to do, and I'm going to give them my time. And I'm going to give Jesus in 2018 my yes. I normally don't do our vision till January, but I felt so strong in my heart as we moved into this season of Thanksgiving and this season of Christmas that we'd start rethinking how we're going to live our lives in 18. And it not just be some emotional thing that we make some big broadcast about in 18. I'm turning over a new leaf, but I'm talking about a prayerful change of lifestyle and saying, Jesus, here's my yes. You're the provider of everything in my life. I give everything back to you. Everything that you've given me, I'm giving back. I'm giving you my yes. And so as we go into these next couple of months and then our 21 days of prayer and fasting, I want you to ask God what He created you to do. I want you to ask God, what am I on this earth for? What is my purpose? What is the purpose of the harbor? What am I here for? What am I doing? What can I do to change the world around me? I looked around this room this morning. I see people that I've known for many years. I know what God's gifted you with. I know the blessings of God that's on your life. What are you doing with the things that God has put in your hand? We always say, man, when my ship comes in, listen, if you're not doing with your penny what God's given you now, you won't do with your millions later. If you're not doing with the 5 minutes you have now, when you have all the time in the world, you won't do any more. If you're not doing with your talent what you have time to do now, no matter how you increase in that talent, if you're not using it for God now, you won't use it for Him later. Because that's just the way it works. So let's don't wait for something big to happen. Let's give Jesus our yes. Well, let's just step into the purpose of God has for our life right now. Is that good? I want them to sing and just bow your heads. And just as they sing, I know it's a little late today, but we had a time of ministry. But I feel like this is so important to our house. As we enter this season about my best, I want you to turn this whole place into an altar. And I give you my yes, Lord.